We are a people who seek to be guided in our lives by Holy Scripture. And so I invite you to listen for the Word of God in this reading from the Gospel of John.
In Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate in the north city wall, is a pool with the Aramaic named Bethesda. It had five covered porches, and a crowd of people who were sick, blind, lame, and paralyzed sat there. A certain man was there who had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him laying there, he knew that he had already been there a long time. He asked him, "Do you want to get well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I don't have anyone who can put me in the water when it is stirred up. When I am trying to get to it, someone else has gotten in ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." Immediately, the man was well, and he picked up his mat and walked.
In the church season leading up to Easter, this year I'm offering this Lenten series called Don't Give Up, Biblical Offerings of Hope. Well, this weekend marks 1 year since the COVID pandemic forced us to suspend in-person worship and replace it with a worship broadcast via the internet. 1 year! So it's appropriate that this week's installment is called Hope for a Return to Normal. You know, if there's one question on people's minds these days, it's the question, when will things return to normal? For virtually everyone on the face of the planet, for a year now, our lives have been disrupted, unpredictable, uncomfortable, insecure. And even as vaccines are being rolled out, we still fear making someone sick or becoming sick ourselves. We instinctively now cringe when we watch old movies and TV shows and we see scenes of large gatherings of unmasked people. The simple idea of shaking someone's hand seems now so odd. You know, the global response to contain and overcome the coronavirus has impacted what we all knew as normal and ordinary. We've been deprived of things that we took for granted. Activities have been restricted. Adults have felt like children when health professionals and public leaders tell us what we can and cannot do. After days and weeks and months, after a year of this, we've grown tired and anxious, impatient. We want to feel like we can exert some control in our lives. We long to be able to gather with our own family members, for goodness sake. We want to get together with friends again. We want to meet with co-workers face to face instead of mask to mask. We want to congregate in public spaces with fellow sports fans and concert goers or theater patrons. We want to be able to run to the store without feeling like we have to go through a decontamination routine when we get home. And of course, we want to feel comfortable returning to our church. Returning to the familiarity of our preferred place of worship. Returning to take part in church-based activities and mission outreach. Returning to the comfort and camaraderie of fellow church-going friends and neighbors. And returning to welcome people who have met us through these worship broadcasts. The desire to return to normal is, well, it's normal. It's human nature to prefer what's comfortable and familiar. And that's actually illustrated in the story of the Israelites' Exodus journey from Egypt to their entry into the Promised Land. Their long, long experience in the wilderness reminds us that it's our tendency to long for what used to be. The Old Testament book called Numbers reports how the Israelites reacted to the stress of, in effect, backpacking through the wilderness for several years. Even though God had sustained them by providing them with a seed-like food called manna, Instead of expressing thanks for the gift of food, they complained about its blandness. Some of the complainers sounded off to Moses. They cried, "Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish we ate in Egypt for free, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. And now our lives are wasting away. There is nothing but manna in front of us." Well, having been so long separated from what used to be, the people wanted to return to normal, to what had been familiar. What they were forgetting was that when they had lived in Egypt, their normal was enslavement. The book of Exodus describes the Hebrew people being subjected to forced labor and hard service and every kind of field labor that was imposed ruthlessly by their harsh and cruel taskmasters. That was the normal that the Exodus enabled them to escape. Did they really want to return to that normal? Surely they didn't hope to emerge from the restrictions and challenges of the Exodus only to return once again to the bondage of slavery. Yes, they wanted something that was more familiar, more predictable, more settled than what they were enduring. But surely what they sought was a new normal. In today's reading from the fifth chapter of John's Gospel, we heard a healing story. People suffering from a variety of conditions and diseases would gather at one of Jerusalem's ritual bathing pools. This one was called Bethesda. They did that because legend had it that an angel of the Lord would descend on occasion and stir up the waters in that pool. And whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well from whatever disease that person had. Well, as we heard from John's Gospel, Jesus spoke to a man who had been coming to the pool for 38 years hoping to be healed. 38 years! For 38 years of his life, the man had sought to be healed, and after his encounter with Jesus changed his life, do you think he wanted to go back to normal, back to his usual routine of the last 38 years? Surely he wanted a new normal for his life because he had come to know and believe in Jesus. Do we really want to return to normal? When I was talking about this topic with my minister friend Jenny, the other day she said, "John, I'm reminded of the title of that Patsy Claremont book. It was called Normal is Just a Setting on Your Dryer." In other words, it's hard to say what's normal. Normal from whose perspective? Normal in what situations? In a church meeting the other night, we talked about this last year when large public gatherings were inadvisable, including gatherings for churches. We talked about returning to normal and wondered what that would look like for this church. Well, from what I'm hearing and reading, I believe that there will not be a defining moment when everyone decides that everything is back to normal. Rather, different aspects of our lives will ease into a more familiar, normal, comfortable situation at different times. For instance, at some point, you'll feel confident going into a store to shop. At some point, you'll feel comfortable eating in a restaurant or going to a theater. You'll feel safe and confident without a face mask. At some point, you'll feel comfortable giving someone a hug or offering them a handshake. And at some point, you'll feel at ease attending a worship service in a church. Now, while there may be governmental announcements approving the resumption of certain activities, for other functions, there probably will be no specific timetable or order in which these activities will return. And what's more, the timetable for each of these experiences will be different for different people. For example, there will be a time when the mandates for wearing face masks will be withdrawn. But some people will still feel more comfortable continuing to mask up. In bars and restaurants, sports venues, theaters eventually will be fully open, but not everyone will be ready to resume what used to be commonplace for them. And people will return to churches or explore them for the first time. But it will happen gradually over time and at different rates for various church activities. The normal that will slowly emerge after this pandemic will be different from what we considered normal when we went in. We're going to return, but we'll return to a new place. What's true for our daily activities will also be true for our spiritual lives. We may find ourselves wanting to satisfy a new yearning to serve Jesus through His church in different ways. I've had conversations with someone who has discovered a desire to read the Bible more regularly during this pandemic interlude. And someone else has decided that she can present Christ's love by writing brief notes of appreciation, not just to relatives or close friends, but to neighbors and community acquaintances. I've seen a number of people who have found new joy in their lives by getting involved in supporting our church's mission outreach projects. And I know of at least a half dozen folk who have sought online Bible studies to explore how the Bible informs their worldview and their response to human need. The good news of the gospel is that God transforms us. Putting our faith in Jesus Christ changes our view of the world. Faith in Jesus changes how we resolve to engage with the world. As the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, anyone who is joined to Christ is a new being. The old is gone, the new has come. Faith in Jesus Christ delivers us to a new place, a new normal for our lives. The Israelites started in captivity and ended in a promised land of new opportunity. The man at the Bethesda pool had his mobility restored, giving him newfound ability to go in new directions. We too can discover a new normal. Let us pray that our hearts will be moved by our pilgrimage through the wilderness of quarantine. May our new normal have us displaying an even more Christ-like spirit of patience, acceptance, forgiveness, and obedience.